for many years, essential to the work of protecting the constitutional principle of separation of church and state in this country, has been the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Allied groups in this work include, of course, Interfaith Alliance. Freedom From Religion co-president Dan Barker has been on this show numerous times over the years, and I'm pleased to welcome him back to State of Belief Radio today. Dan, thanks for being with us again.
It's always a pleasure to talk with you, Will.
The attempts to dismantle the wall of separation seem to be coming from all directions these days. Is this the toughest environment you've ever found yourself working in?
We think so. Our 9 full-time attorneys are so busy. We get thousands of complaints every year, and they can barely get the work done. We kind of think the reason that it is tough is because the religious extremists, the religious right, has been losing and losing and losing the culture war for many decades, going all the way back to women's right to vote, to interracial marriage, to creationism in the schools, to prayer in the schools, to gay marriage, you name it. They've been losing these fights. Their numbers are getting smaller. Religious belief is shrinking all across the board, and non-belief is growing. And so they're angry. They don't like this. They don't like losing. And even though in the big picture it seems like they're snuffing out, like what happened in Europe, where most people are totally non-religious, in the short run, in these few decades here, they are very dangerous, because I think they're kind of like a wounded animal that knows it's dying and it's going to take everything down it can with it. They're hopeful. Some of them are optimistic, and so they are really digging in. And we non-believers are unrepresented. In Congress, for example, even though we're about a quarter of the population, the non-religious, I should say, it's just a few that would say they're non-religious. And the same thing on the courts. The courts are also a relic of the older times. So there's a lot of work to do, and they can do a lot of damage in the meantime, which is actually, if meaning in life comes from working to solve problems, then we have a very meaningful next decade or two here.
Yeah. What are, in your mind, the most dangerous challenges the separation clause is facing right now?
The money ones are always the big ones. Vouchers, school vouchers, we think are the most dangerous right now. And they're sneaking under. Our organization is here in Wisconsin, and of course, Wisconsin is one of these proving grounds for school vouchers. And it turns out that school vouchers are failing miserably, but the religious right doesn't admit it. In the Milwaukee schools, for example, you know, their results are bad. The schools are springing up and falling apart. There's some scandals involved with that. And anytime you get your hands on public money, then you can see what happens, especially with some of these Catholic dioceses that are shrinking. They're having to consolidate. And the Catholic diocese in Milwaukee realize that their schools are a source of revenue. And especially if their schools can get public money, give out your money, then that's keeping their churches open and operating. But also there's the, you know, the so-called Religious Freedom Restoration Act, the so-called attempt to expand. They say restore religious freedom, but there's nothing to restore. They want to expand religious freedom beyond the basic, you know, First Amendment freedoms, so that they now have the freedom to harm others with their beliefs and discriminate. And we think that's also a dangerous move in the last couple decades.
Dan, you've had 4 significant court wins in less than a month, and I want to talk about those. But first, let's quickly go over this very disappointing ruling on opening prayers in the House of Representatives.
Yeah, so we've had 5 federal rulings in the last couple of weeks, and this one was one that was bad. The other 4 were great. And it's me. I'm the plaintiff in it. My representative, Mark Pocan, asked the chaplain of the House of Representatives to allow me, as he allows others, to come in and be a guest chaplain for the day to open a session of Congress with a secular invocation. His only duty is to lead a prayer before Congress. The chaplain put up all sorts of roadblocks that he never puts up to anybody else. In fact, he's had many unordained people come in, gospel singers and so on, at the request of members of the House. So Mark Pocan's request to have me was denied by the chaplain, even though I am ordained, I was an ordained Christian minister, and I've been using my ordination to perform weddings, mm-hmm. he said, no, you can't do it because you have to address a higher power. And really, we know from the court and from history that the real purpose of an opening prayer, whatever you call it, prayer and vocation, mm-hmm. the purpose of it is to solemnize the occasion. Mm-hmm. And we non-believers are just as capable of solemnizing an occasion. It's our country, too. And if anything, we think the House of Representatives should be representative. The chaplain should not exclude. Well, he turned me down. So we sued in court that this was a violation of equal protection and so on. But the D.C. judge disagreed with us and said that it's okay for the chaplain to discriminate. In fact, the judge even admitted that I had standing, that I have been harmed, that I have been excluded. But it's okay because the chaplain has that prerogative to harm and exclude Americans who do want to participate in our government.
Are there next steps on this one?
Well, the next step would be to appeal. We're thinking about it, and our legal staff is considering our options. If you read the decision from the judge that just came down in the federal district there in D.C., she addressed issues that were not even raised. She thinks that we were challenging the whole idea of a guest of a chaplaincy, which our lawsuit is not. We're not challenging the chaplaincy. We would like to participate as equal American citizens. So there are some grounds, we think, for a potential appeal of this loss.
Well, let's talk about the victories. Would you summarize the actions the foundation and our allies have prevailed in recently?
Yeah, there's four recent ones. In fact, since the beginning of this year, we've had eight really strong victories. But a couple weeks ago, a county in Pennsylvania, Lehigh County, which has a Christian cross on its county seal and county flag, the federal court reluctantly agreed that we were right to challenge it and that that Christian cross has to be removed. And the county is appealing that loss, obviously. In Brevard County, Florida, in spite of the Greece decision, which allows anybody, including atheists, and in fact, in the Greece Supreme Court decision, it uses the word atheist. A city council or a government body can allow opening prayers as long as it's open to everyone, including nonbelievers. In fact, members of ours around the country have tested this to good effect. There have been atheists and agnostics, and even some Satanists or so-called Satanists, mm-hmm. who have opened a public meeting with prayer, and the sky didn't fall. But in Brevard County, Florida, they disallowed our members, especially our Central Florida chapter, from opening with prayer, and they're only allowing Christian ministers. And we think if they're going to allow Christian ministers and rabbis, they should allow all citizens. And so they disallowed us, and we sued, and the federal court agreed they were wrong to do that. They have to allow all points of view or don't do the practice at all. Mm-hmm. A big significant victory, which is much more national, is our housing allowance victory, which touches every clergy in the country. Mm-hmm. In the IRS code, clergy are allowed to exclude their housing from income when they file their taxes. Mm-hmm. And I used to do that when I was a minister years ago. But now that I'm working for a secular nonprofit, I don't get to do that. So Annie Laurie and I are getting a housing allowance from the Freedom from Religion Foundation, which we don't get to exclude, but ministers and priests and rabbis do get to exclude, mm-hmm. and we think that's unfair. And we started this in 2009. It's been a long, torturous, this is our third attempt because the appeals court turned us down on standing back in 2013. But we fixed the standing. We're back in court. The IRS turned us down, and just a week or two ago, Federal Judge Barbara Crabb ruled in our favor that the housing allowance is unconstitutional. She didn't decide on a remedy yet. The remedy, we think, should be to nullify it so that no clergy are treated more favorably than the other nonprofit workers. Mm-hmm. But it could happen that the court might decide that all nonprofits will get this benefit. So we don't know what's going to happen. We do have a decision that it is unconstitutional. Mm. Governor Greg Abbott took our Bill of Rights scene out of the state capitol because he said it was mocking Christianity. And a judge just a few days ago ruled that the governor of Texas violated our free speech rights because it isn't mocking, but even if it were mocking, we have the freedom in this country, freedom of speech, to say anything we want for or against religion. So mm-hmm. he says he's going to appeal that loss, but right now the governor of Texas has violated our free speech rights.
Mm. Are there specific cases or issues that are coming up in the near future that we need to keep an eye on?
Well, yes. In fact, we're watching the Supreme Court on the masterpiece cake bakery. You know that issue about the Christian baker who wanted to deny making a cake for a gay couple. Mm-hmm. This is the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which originally looked like a good idea. It was signed by Clinton, and even the ACLU and other groups were behind it. It turned out that it's been expanded to allow religious people to claim that they're being discriminated against if they're not allowed to discriminate against others. Mm-hmm. It's like they're trying to amend the Constitution and expand the First Amendment beyond just our natural freedoms, to give them the freedom to use their religion to actually actively harm others, especially when it violates the Civil Rights Act. So I think we need to be watching what's happening on this issue.
Well, thank you. Dan, if it is so blindingly clear to both of us that freedom of religion and freedom from religion are the absolute cornerstones of American liberty and democracy, why is that so impossible for many people of faith to see the damage our republic, our citizens, and our faith traditions are already suffering is almost immeasurable, and yet our work is so often portrayed as somehow being anti-religion.
Yeah, and I like that word you use, blindingly obvious. I think to the right-wing believers, Christians or Jews or Muslims, we could also use that word blinding. Dogma and ideology can also be blinding. Mm. And you're right, it's only a small minority. But most of the cases we take, or many of the cases that we take, we are joined by religious people. Mm-hmm. Most of our members are atheists and agnostics, but Roman Catholics and Protestants and Unitarians and Wiccans and Jews and others join us because they also see the importance of keeping the government neutral, mm-hmm. the importance of state-church separation.
Right.
And it actually helps our case to have plaintiffs who are believers because then it looks to the court like it's not just a bunch of angry atheists who are mad at religion.
Yeah.
We don't barge into churches. There's none of our group is going to go into your church on a Sunday morning and start dragging people out of the pews. I mean, this is a free country. We can believe whatever we want.
Mm-hmm.
We don't sue individuals. We only sue the government. When the government speaks, the government can't promote or hinder religion.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there's a lot of religious people who applaud what we're doing because it strengthens, it underscores their freedom to believe or not if the government stays out of our business.
Yeah. Well, I'm one of them and support you. And I'd like for you, before we go, to tell our listeners how they can support and get involved in the work of the Freedom From Religion Foundation.
FFRF.org. And keep your eyes open. If you see something, there's a couple of dozen different areas, from religion in the schools to, you know, religious monuments to public money to so on. If you see something, you can contact us. We have a legal page where you can make a complaint. So if you see something that makes you uncomfortable, if a school teacher is forcing your kid to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance and doesn't know the law, then we can send a letter. We can inform the school district or the principal or whoever that they are, in fact, breaking the law.
Dan Barker is co-president of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, a leading free thought legal and activist organization protecting the rights of all Americans. Dan, thanks so much for taking time to be with us again. You're doing great work, and we want to keep abreast of all of the good things you're doing.
And thank you for all your good work, too, Weldon.
Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you made a donation to State of Belief Radio this week, I want to say a sincere thank you. We couldn't do this without you. And if you've heard something on this week's show that you think would be helpful to someone you know, for goodness sakes, tell them about it. Direct them to stateofbelief.com, where they'll find full episodes, an in-depth archive, extended interviews, transcripts, and links mentioned in the show. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter and engage in the discussion. Our producer is Ray Kirstein. State of Belief Radio is a production of Interfaith Alliance. Become a member today at interfaithalliance.org. And be sure to join us next week for more stories from the intersection of religion, government, and politics. Until then, You all take care of each other. I'm Welton Getty. That state of belief.
It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.